Blog Talk Radio. It's time. It's 10:30 a.m. Central Time, and you're tuned in to the Little Flower Literacy and Economics Radio Show with your host, Dr. Florida Bell Griffin and Leon Gatewood. Call, text, or message a friend on social media. Tell them to head on over to www.littleflowerartist.com. The show is starting right now. HALA is a North Carolina nonprofit organization that provides a variety of services, activities, and programs that aid in increasing children's test scores and also encourages the youth to make positive contributions to society. HALA was founded by Leon Gatewood. It has been the mission of Leon to ensure that HALA becomes a staple in the community by positively contributing to campaign for literacy in his community. HALA adopted the Little Flower Learning System as their program of choice for supporting community-wide literacy. For more information on HALA, visit www.hala.ws. That's www.holla.ws.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Little Flower Literacy and Economics Radio Show. I am your host, Florida Bell Griffin in Houston, Texas, and I'm joined by co-host Leon Gatewood in Wadesboro, North Carolina. Good morning, Brother Leon. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Florida. I'm great. How are you?
I've seen better days, as I'm sure you have, huh?
So
is anything going on with HALA that we want to talk about before we get into our topic for the morning?
Oh, yeah, there's always something going on with HALA. Of course, we're in the middle of getting tied up with the school year right now. We were in a meeting yesterday with the middle school. We're starting a mentoring or partnering with them with a mentoring program for boys.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have about 33 boys in our group. And we're really excited about it because it's going to take the guys on some trips. We're going to visit some HBCUs. We're going to do some other type field trips, have some retreats here at the HALA Center. You know, do some things that get the young men excited, you know, get them motivated, wake their minds up. You know, because a lot of problem is young people's minds are asleep. So we're trying to wake some minds up. And
Let me ask you something about the structure of your mentoring program. I heard you say that you were going to take them to HBCUs. What kind of technical type exposure do you offer, if any, or are you planning to offer, if any? Meaning professions that don't require college, require technical training for those who are not inclined to go to college.
I got that, and I appreciate that question, because one of the things we should also do is introduce the young people to some of the businesses here in Anson County, you know, some of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
One of our guests on the show this morning, probably, you know, that type of work, the things our young people do. You know, a lot of the things our kids need to get involved with, especially with the partnership we've also formed with the high school and the Youth
mm-hmm.
Career Connect program. So all
mm-hmm.
of those, all of these programs are kind of designed to introduce young people to ways they can get involved and move from school to either college or going straight to work.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited about what we're doing.
Very good, very good. Well, our guest, if we move on to our guest today, and I guess we can revisit this again also, because I think we're going to talk about businesses this morning, in addition to some other things. But our guest is someone that I have known practically all of my life. Actually, I used to have a crush on him. Maybe I still do.
And you know.
You do?
And you know I've known him all my life.
And he just happens to be one of your elder brothers. And
oh, yeah.
So do you want to introduce him to our listening audience? And,
well, yeah,
and then we'll proceed with our discussion.
I'll be excited to do that. As a matter of fact, Joseph Gatewood is my brother, of course. And he was kind of he's the big brother. You know, he's like, he's kind of like the immediate big brother.
The immediate
14
one.
Kids. Yeah. He was,
okay.
That's a tricky thing. See, Dad had 14 kids. So it's kind of like we were in groups. We had two groups of seven.
Uh-huh.
Joseph was like the last one in the second group.
Oh, okay.
So Joseph.
So well,
Joseph
he was my
like
bus driver.
Big brother.
Look,
yeah,
he was my bus driver. And and I used to try to get the front seat behind him just so I could be near him. So that's what we're working with here. So it could be very emotional this morning. Okay, let's get the show back on.
Hey, this is deep. But Joseph, you know, I'll just say this. He was a support to us as when we were in college,
yeah,
because Joseph had gone on through college. And when I was in college, he was the kind of big brother that would come up there and take us shopping and buy us stuff and take us to his house for the weekend and stuff like that. That kind of stuff that really meant a lot to you growing up, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And he was right, like you said,
so,
a bus driver. So he was making money when he was in school.
Yeah.
And he helped in too. The boy.
Yeah,
he's a good boy.
Yeah, he's a good man. And he, in addition to being what he is to us, and we're going to bring him on, but in addition to being that, he's a very successful businessman in Charlotte, North Carolina, which
in
is
Charlotte.
What we really invited him to talk about this morning is what's going on in Charlotte and how it affects businesses. I think we kind of got sidetracked because we might be a little bit emotionally involved in, you know,
yeah,
with him.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
so we're going to get
yeah
our show back on track this morning and welcome you to the show, Brother Joseph Gatewood. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Joseph.
I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to mess up all the good stuff you already said. I'm ready to man out. I could
hey, what do you say, Joseph? It can only be downhill from here, right?
Hey, I could have sat here and listened to you guys all morning. I was just sitting there enjoying it. I thought, I hope the whole world is listening to this show.
Hey, look,
but,
Joe.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, man. We are so moved by you, first of all. Let's get done and close that part out. But we are so moved by you and what's going on in Charlotte right now. I mean,
right,
you know, of course, this is like a replay from things that have been going on throughout the country for the past few couple of years, 3 or 4 years, that we know of. So in Charlotte, you know, kind of, I'm going to tell you this. When I saw it on the news in Charlotte, I mean, you know, that's right up the street from me. And when I could see it in Charlotte, it happening in Charlotte, it was like something losing its purity when I saw Charlotte going through that. And I'm sure that happens. That's been happening to other people throughout the country. But when I just saw Charlotte, I said, "Man, this is deep. This is painful." And I know this is not the first thing that has happened in Charlotte, but when you see the amount of protest that is going on, and the amount of emotion involved with it, you know people are doing it not because they're stupid. It's just because they're frustrated, you know. People are doing
mm-hmm
these things out of frustration. And I know it's easy to say it's stupid and they shouldn't be doing that. But it's deeper than that, you know. But anyway, we wanted to talk to you this morning because you were in Charlotte. And I know you're right around the corner from most of this stuff that's going on. And we just want to kind of hear our charlatan's story this morning.
Okay. All right, people. Well, before I start talking about what's going on as far as the protest is concerned, I do want to take a minute to talk about what's going on in, you know, with business in Charlotte, black business, particularly the partnership that we've made with Mechanics and Farmers Bank, where we have started having what we call a lunch and learn program, where we invite small businesses in and give them all the ins and outs of starting a business and how to stay in business, you know, dealing with things like how to get financing, how to market your business, you know, filing your taxes, getting the proper insurance and things of that nature. So we have been doing that over the last several months. And this Saturday coming up, we are having a small business conference on the campus of Johnson C. Smith University. And here again, Mechanics and Farmers Bank is the sponsor, and I'm going to be participating as the moderator. So we are trying to do a lot in Charlotte to get, you know, bring more attention to small business, particularly businesses that are owned by African Americans. And, you know, we are very excited about that. And here again, we are trying to urge people in the community to, you know, get more in tune with supporting African American businesses, because until we have a strong financial base, we are not going to get the respect that we hope for, because people have to realize that we live in a capitalistic society, and and capital determines a lot of what goes on into our communities. If we have to, every time after the shooting and the protest is over, we have to go back to our counterparts, you know, crawling and begging for employment, we're going to be pretty much back in the same situation a few months or a few years down the road.
That's right.
Now, as far as the current situation going on in Charlotte, it's pretty much like the same thing that we've been seeing, you know, year after year, generation after generation. The biggest difference now is that it's on video. It's out where everybody can see it. There's nothing new about it, because people have to understand, once upon a time in this country, it was not even illegal to lynch a black man. They had to pass an anti-lynching bill to stop people from lynching black people and putting them on display at picnics. Of course, that's how the word picnic came about. So what they'll do, they'll pick a nick, I'm not going to say the whole word, and they'll hang him. They'll stand there and look at him and take pictures of it during their little outdoor celebration. And, of course, the police and everybody else was aware of this. And it reminds me of my brother when he first came to Charlotte. He moved to Charlotte in 1958, and he applied, and he wanted to be on the police department in Charlotte. And at that time, he was informed that, well, you can be on the police department, but you cannot arrest white people. And that's the type of foundation, that's the type of culture that's been in police departments for years. And it's not something that you can correct overnight.
That's right.
And you know, and when I was thinking about, well, when Leon called me and said that he wanted me to call in and talk on the show, I jotted down some notes that I have not seen addressed, or perhaps they have been addressed and I didn't notice it. But here's some things that I would like to see done. First of all, I would like to see them stop using images of black men for target practice. If you look and see, if you ever look at going to shooting range, or you look at, well, they have a picture of a man up there and he's black.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever noticed that?
Yes. Yes.
I think
Brother Leon has disconnected from us, but yes, I have noticed it.
I mean, stop using images of black men for target practice.
That's right.
And another thing, you need to end the fraternal order of police.
That's right.
Because fraternal orders are built on secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
They are
mm-hmm.
built on protecting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you have a fraternal order within a government organization, a government entity, that's supposed to be protecting all of us?
And Brother Joseph, we have a caller that is called in. Let's see if this caller wants to comment on what you're saying.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. How are you?
Good morning, Florida.
Who do I have here?
This is Leon Gatewood.
Okay. Well, Brother Leon,
my bad.
I
called in on that.
Okay. Well, did you hear the last that Brother Joseph said about the fraternal order of police?
I did.
Okay.
We'll let him continue
to give his list.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'll just if you wanted me to comment, I would have then. But we'll continue with the list. I'm appreciating
okay.
the list. Yes.
All right. So the first thing that he said was to stop using images of black men for target practice, and the second suggestion that he offered was to dismantle the fraternal order of police. Is that correct, Brother Joseph?
That is exactly correct. Because, like I said, we all know what fraternal orders are about.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They protect each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to have a fraternal order within an organization that's to protect the citizens?
Right.
How are you going to protect me, and at the same time, whatever your brother does, you're not going to snitch on him. You're not going to tell on him because that would go against your code.
Mm-hmm.
So that was going to be my question. What is their code? What is the objective of the fraternal order of police?
See, we don't know that.
Well, see, that's the secret.
Right. That's a secret. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we don't know. And that's
right.
what we need. And that's why we need to dismantle it because we don't know. And the second thing is, just like, for example, we had a shooting in Tulsa a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Got a shooting in Charlotte a few days ago. And, of course, we know
mm-hmm.
about New York. We know about Baton Rouge. We know about Missouri, Minnesota. You know, the list just goes on and on and on.
Charleston, mm-hmm. everywhere.
Charleston. Has anybody ever done a study of these cops, these police that go out here and kill innocent people, particularly black men, to find out is there a common thread between them?
Mm.
Has anybody ever done that?
Wow.
Has anybody ever done a study to find out is there a common thread between these police officers that go out here and kill black men? I think that's something somebody needs to look into.
Hmm.
What's the common thread? Is there one?
Well, but how could you do a study of that nature from the inside? Because you need to be able to ask some really pertinent questions. And then we're back to your last point. The fraternal order of police is not going to let anybody talk to you. I mean, Right?
You're right on point with what I'm saying. You're right on point.
Mm-hmm.
You're right on point. And then, and another thing I would like to know, we see this keep happening over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But people are overlooking the fact we have a lot of black judges.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of black police officers.
Mm-hmm.
We have black DAs, district attorneys. We have black police commissioners? Why are these people so silent?
I would offer something on that. It's actually something that I know about personally, but also something that I read as people have been talking about Kaepernick and all that has gone on with him. The reason that they are silent is because they're not as free as they want to believe they are, or as some of us want to believe they are. Their jobs are riding on them basically towing the company line. When they step out of what is acceptable and say what is true, then that becomes a problem. And then they become personal targets or enemies of the whatever they're representing. And that is why many of them don't speak, because they're comfortable and they don't want to bring attention to themselves. And what happens is the ways that they get affected are the kind of undercutting ways. Oh, we'll audit you. Oh, you got a child that's going there. Oh, you got this. You got that. Their lives, the things that are important to them, start coming under a microscope or whatever. What do you think about that, Brother Leon? Do you think that's possible that could happen?
Sure. They used to call it something else back in the day, but yeah, that's quite possible, and I'm sure that's what goes on. I mean, you know, let me just say it like this. You say you have these guys, it's like they're in this culture. And it's like in a culture they don't actually belong in, if you could look at it that way. These guys are kind of like stuck out in a culture of something they're in, but they're not, like you say, free.
Mm-hmm.
They're only free to the extent that they do what, or they go along with what's going on. I hate to say that, because I know somebody listening that's going to say, not me.
Okay.
That's not true with all the people that
this
I talked about, the police or the you know, the black judges, the black police officers, et cetera. It's not true with all of them.
With 100%.
With 100%. But to me, I feel like they should be more vocal. That's my
But what other reasons do you think, then? If they're not concerned about their personal safety or their jobs, then why do you think that they could possibly think that it's not wrong?
Well, I don't think it's not that they think it's not wrong, but I just feel like they, about like you said, they're just scared. And I just think it's time out for being scared, because in my opinion about civil rights. In my opinion about the struggle, you have to. You don't necessarily have to march in the street, or you don't have a member of any type of group. My opinion is you supposed to fight wherever you are to bring about justice. My first job out of college. I was hired and eventually got into a management position. And I noticed that I was hired there in 1976, and from 1976 until around 1979, not another black person was hired.
Mm-hmm.
Not one.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to my immediate boss, and I told my immediate boss, I said, I have a problem. I said, now, every time I interview people to come on my shift, I said, I'm always interviewing white people.
Mm-hmm.
I have not interviewed not one black person. And I said, and everybody that comes on this job, I said, we have to train them. I said, nobody comes in the door knowing what we are doing. And I said, we can train some black folks just like we've been training white folks.
Mm.
And my supervisor said, well, Joseph said, we hadn't hired any Hispanics. We hadn't hired any Asians. I said, well, I don't look out the window and see Asians and Hispanics walking up and down the street. After I look out the window, I see black folks. After we dead in the middle, of a black neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, we'll look into it. And just because I spoke up, the next five people that company hired were black.
Amazing.
The next five. And, of course, I didn't get any retribution. Didn't nobody say anything to me. Didn't nobody do anything to me. I kept right on operating my business, operating that shift just like I did. But the only difference was I had a black person on the camera and a black girl on the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this right quick, Joseph, on that. Oftentimes, the you know, people expect you to look out for your people, but if
right.
you don't, they're fine with that. But that it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not trying to just pushing your people necessarily, but you're just trying to be fair. People expect
you're trying
that.
To be just. You're trying to bring
right.
You're trying to bring about justice and fairness. And so if you can't use what little position or what little authority that you have to do that, what good is it for you?
Right.
I mean, you're not any better than anybody else. You're not any better than anybody else.
Right.
The only thing you're caring about is, you know, just like Bob Marley said in his song, the hopeless sinner who will sacrifice all mankind just to save his own.
Hmm.
Another
oh, my.
The only thing you're concerned about is your own well-being.
Mm-hmm. The Lord doesn't even like that.
The Lord don't even.
No,
like
he
that.
Doesn't. No. Well, we got about 3 minutes left. We have talked the whole show. Can
are
you believe
serious?
That?
No.
We
man,
have about 3 minutes left, and I wanted to talk about.
Thing. I got something else on my list. I got something else.
Okay,
on my
well, let's talk about.
I'm gonna say it real quick. I'm gonna say it real quick. I'm gonna say it real quick. Number one,
all right.
Quit, stop focusing on the protest and start focusing on the guy that did the shooting. Start
now, that's a good thing.
It. Stop talking about the protest. Stop
right.
talking about the protest. I'm tired of seeing the protest on the news. I want to see somebody sit down and talk about what they're going to do about this killing, these murders that keep happening on a regular
exactly.
basis. And number two, and if they said that the man had a gun, if he had a gun, and if, does that mean that just and it's legal to carry a gun, and you're gonna walk up and shoot a man just because he got a gun? Why are these so-called Second Amendment people out now out
mm-hmm.
here protesting?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm done.
That was about you kept that in the oven just right.
Yeah,
right.
That went perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah,
goodness.
You're talking about Kaepernick for exercising his First Right Amendment, free speech.
Yeah.
So why are these Second Amendment people not out here protesting because the police said he shot the man because he had a gun, if he had
mm-hmm.
in fact had a gun.
Yeah.
And it's the difference between a gun and a book, isn't it?
That's right.
It's
and what I'm saying is if it's legal to carry a gun, does that mean because if I go out here and buy a gun, I'm a black man, I'm going to get shot?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm sorry, y'all.
It's okay,
where do we
man.
Go? What now? What do we do now?
What do we do?
The only thing I can say is we're gonna have to look after each other. We're gonna
that's
have
true.
To love each other. We're gonna have to take care of each other. That's because we have seen what this society has done to us and what it's gonna continue to do to us. And until we come together as a people, and we start taking care of our own neighborhoods, and don't
mm-hmm.
rely so much on calling the police every time something happens. You know, go over and talk to your brother and tell him,
mm-hmm.
man, don't do that. Don't call the police on him.
Because mm-hmm.
you know what, you don't think the police going to come out there and kiss him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right.
They're going to do what they do. So quit calling the police in your neighborhood so much.
Yeah, no, that's an amen to that, brother.
That amen two times.
You know, start protecting
yeah.
your own neighborhood, patrolling your own neighborhood. You don't have to, you know, be out there with a gun. You know, you see some of your brothers or something doing something you know that's not right, tell them. Go over and talk to them. Quit being so scared.
I'm going to say this right quick, Joe. I know. and Dr. Griffin, one of the things I'm learning is one of. Let me just say this. One of the things I learned from one of the candidates for president. Okay, for instance, when this joker said he was in the other neighborhoods talking about how, you know, black people, you know, all the stuff he said, what you got to lose, all that kind of stuff. You know, then I started thinking. I said, we're kind of guilty. You know, everybody was saying, well, he's talking to white people about us. And then I said, to big piggyback on what you just said, we talk about our neighbors to other people instead of talking mm-hmm. to our neighbors. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Like you just said, don't be afraid of your neighbor. Go talk to your neighbor. If your neighbor got putting trash in the yard, I said, look, man, let's not do that. If your neighbor playing the music too loud, man, I said, come on, man, let's not do that, man. My mama live next door. You got a 90-year-old lady near next door.
Don't call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Quit calling the police so much.
Because he's going to come out there shooting.
He's going to come out there shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was some boys shooting some firecrackers in front of my house on 4th of July. Well, I let them go along for a minute. After a while, I went out there and told them don't do it. No more time to go home. I didn't call the police. Because the police come out there, you might shoot me.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Well, this has been a stimulating conversation, my brothers. And we have come to the end of this show.
All right.
And, Brother Joseph, we want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I thank you all for calling me.
Thanks for calling, Joseph.
Wow.
Really, man, you're a good brother. You're a good brother.
Yeah.
You're a good brother, too.
I'll never forget it, man. I will never forget it.
And
that time I needed some. That time I needed some nabs, and you brought me.
I bring you some nabs right today if you need some.
Y'all are good people. Have a good day. Thank
Freddie,
you.
You should have told me about this crush thing a long time ago.
Okay, well, I'll call you later. Bye.
I'm still thinking about that.
Bye, Brother Joseph.
Y'all be good.
Thank you for tuning in to the Little Flower Literacy and Economics Show with your host, Dr. Florida Bell Griffin and Leon Gatewood. Join us every Thursday morning at 10:30 a.m. Central Time right here on www.littleflowerartist.com. Don't forget to invite friends. Come on over, www.littleflowerartist.com. We'll see you again real soon.